Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying Talking to God, a study of the principles of prayer based on Ron Dunn's book, Don't Just Stand There, Pray Something. In this session, we'll be looking at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. You know, I love old movies, old World War II movies. The Sands of Iwo Jima, The Longest Day, Midway. You know why? Because you see the enemy and you fight. However, our battle as believers is not that simple. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Flesh and blood is easy. There it is. Spiritual powers are not. Spiritual warfare requires supernatural power. God's power against powers of darkness. In two verses, verses 11 and 12, the word against is used six times. The imagery is hand-to-hand combat, but this isn't a spectator sport. The Christian is against something, and something is against the Christian. Let's look at those verses of our text, Ephesians 6. Verses 10 to 20, and let's see the essentials of spiritual warfare. The Christian warrior must know the enemy. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Principalities, that's rank and rule. Powers, that's authority. Rulers, that's control. Spiritual hosts, that speaks of numbers. This battle is real. The target is the power behind the person or the problem. What we see is not the reality of the battle. Believers must meet the enemy on his own ground. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. The Christian also must know the arena. Back in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then jump to verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Most believers are useless in spiritual warfare. And why is that? Because they attack the physical manifestation. Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 down to verse 23. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. And then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Jesus knew his enemy. It wasn't flesh and blood Peter, but the spiritual power of darkness, Satan. Also, over in Acts chapter 16, verse 16 down to verse 18. Now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaimed to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. Paul recognized his enemy. It wasn't the flesh and blood fortune teller, but the power behind the problem, Satan. And you can also look that up in Mark chapter 9, verse 14, down to verse 29. "And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them, and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, 'What are you discussing with them?' And then one of the crowd answered and said, 'Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit, and wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not.' He answered him and said, 'Oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me.' Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell to the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, 'How long has this been happening to him?' He said, 'From childhood. And often he has thrown him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us.' And Jesus said to him, 'If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes.' Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, 'Lord, I believe. Please help my unbelief.' And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, 'Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more.' Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead. So that many said, 'He's dead.' But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up. And he arose, and when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, 'Why could we not cast it out?' And he said to them, 'This kind can only come out by nothing but fasting and prayer.'" Listen, we can be winning surface battles and losing the war. And the Christian warrior must know the weapon. Look at verse 14 down to verse 20. "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Successful warfare requires the right equipment. It must be spiritual, not physical power. Focus in on Paul's thought process. First, he declares there's a war. There's a war on that is spiritual in nature, needing spiritual resources. Then he instructs to suit up for the fight. Okay. Are you ready for the battle? Now what? Look at verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. What do you mean, pray? I have my armor and my sword. Listen. An electric guitar must be amplified. The musician can play it very skillfully, but the music will not be heard unless the instrument is plugged into an amplifier as the source of its power. Look at verse 13 again. Stand therefore. Everything from there through verse 17 is basically a parenthetical statement. Stand therefore, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. The spiritual armor is the equipment to stand. The spiritual prayer is the connection to the power source. Before any battle of preaching, teaching, or witnessing, the outcome is determined by prayer. Exodus chapter 17, verse 8 down to verse 13. That records Joshua's battle with Amalek. Let's look at that. Exodus chapter 17, beginning with verse 8. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And so Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Well, let me ask you a question. Where was the battle decided? Was it in the valley with Joshua? No. The battle was decided on the mountain with Moses. Intercession on the mountain wins battles. The body of Christ needs more intercessors lifting the rod of God in the name of Jesus. What about reaching souls for Jesus Christ? Listen, prayer is the warfare. Evangelism is the mop-up operation. Let me ask you, are you committed as a prayer warrior, Christian? You answer that question, and you have a great day.